This episode of Trenton Waves is brought to you by...
Sharing Australia's softest tissues has never been easier. Now you can send a Kleenex Silk Touch sample pack to someone you love for free. Go to the Kleenex Facebook page today. Kleenex. Share the softness.
Soul of a City. Works by the Trenton A-Team.
Collective Works by the Trenton A-Team, celebrating creativity harnessed in the Trenton Area Soup Kitchen. February 7th through March 31st, 2020. At the Roebling Lofts Gallery, 71 Clark Street, Trenton, New Jersey, 08611. There are two receptions, one February 7th and one on March 6th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. For more information, go to roeblinggallery.org or ateamartists.net. Don't miss it.
Hey guys, what's up? My name is Anya Mickey. I'm from BSB Gallery in Trenton, New Jersey, and you're listening to Trenton Waves Podcast.
Are you ready?
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, books, education, talent, events, of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank.
Have you ever had coffee, and while you're drinking coffee, you say to yourself, I could really use a nice cup of tea right now? No, I've never had that either happen to me. How about maybe you're drinking a Coke? Maybe you're drinking some water. Maybe you're drinking some tomato sauce. I don't know, Podcastia. I don't know what your deal is, but I do know this. The guy I have with me today, him and his wife, are taking tea to a whole other level. That's right, a whole other level. His wife has already been on the show, but this time I have Deb Robb's husband on the show. Mr. Mike Robb is with us today. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Frank.
How you feeling, man?
All right. I'm excited about this.
You're excited, really?
Oh, yeah.
Why are you excited?
Being here with you, Frank?
Aww.
With your wife gone? How could I not be excited?
What are you trying to say? Dude, are you warm enough? Because it's like 17 degrees out.
Yeah. Good hot tea weather.
Good hot tea weather. That's good for business.
Absolutely.
Right? So I guess when it snows, it's even better.
No, because customers don't want to go out when it's
snowing. No, but you can ship.
Yeah, it's true. We do.
Oh, but
we
then
do.
Again, then the shipping people have a problem.
Yeah, you know, you find a way to make things happen.
You find a way to make it work. One really cool thing, I'm so honored. At the ribbon cutting for New Pod City, our parent company, Deb Robb, your wife, was there. I like how I have to say her by her full name. I can't just say Deb.
I know. You can say Deb if you want.
And she launched a new tea called Sasso Mate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was incredibly humbling and quite fascinating at the same time.
We respect some of our good customers. Not that you're one of them, but, yeah. You know, we respect our good customers. And
so we respect them enough to name a tea after them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Thanks, Frank.
Mike, how did you come to Trenton? What was your story?
I was working in sales out in California, and the company I was working for asked for a marketing manager. I was recommended for the job, ultimately hired, and they moved me here to the East Coast. I had just gone through a divorce, and California and New Jersey seemed about as far apart as I could possibly get. So I said, yeah, I'm in. I'm going to New Jersey.
And that's how you came to Jersey?
Yeah. I've been here almost 30 years.
In Trenton or Jersey?
Well, I lived in Lawrenceville until we got married, so I lived in Lawrenceville four Neighboring or five town? Years.
How'd you make it to Trenton, though?
Funny story. This is a marry me, marry my house story. I met Debbie. She was working at Quaker Bridge Mall.
Right.
I went in there to buy some furniture. I had a son that was moving back here with me, and his mother had just sent me a letter through an attorney saying he's not coming. And I was bummed. I was really bummed, big time. So I walked down to Quaker Bridge Mall, probably 47 and a half mile walk just to boil off some steam.
Right.
And I got to looking around, and I came to this end up furniture, which I think is no longer there at Quaker Bridge Mall. And went in, was looking at some furniture, and Debbie was the clerk there, waited on me. And frankly, I was a little intrigued. I mean, she seemed like a really...
You were intrigued by Deb?
Yeah, by Deb, not by the furniture. I ended up buying some furniture, but I bought the furniture later after down the story.
I was going to say, I thought you were like buying the furniture just so you can get a date with her.
Well, actually,
buying furniture.
I could get rid of the furniture. Exactly. So, shorten this story a little bit. I came back a couple times, ended up buying some furniture. I handed her a note. I said, if you'd like, put your phone number down here and I will call you. And I said, if you don't, it's okay. You don't have to. She writes her phone number down. I called her up. I said, look, you don't know me from Adam's house cat, and there's no reason why you should trust me. Mm-hmm. I said, I've just moved here from California. I'd like to ask you out on a date. Let's meet at the Chinese restaurant up here in Lawrenceville. If we don't like one another or it doesn't work out,
right.
You're in your car, I'm in mine, we can go our separate ways. So that's how it started.
And you had no ulterior motives?
Oh, of course I had ulterior motives. Okay. I'm a guy after all, for God's sakes.
Well, I mean, but apparently it worked out. Or
yeah.
Did it?
Yeah, it did work. Well, ultimately we
no,
got married.
No, because maybe you hooked up later on somehow.
No. We started dating and...
she showed up at the Chinese restaurant?
Yeah, she showed up. And yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
What does that say about her?
I know. You'd have to question her intellect, wouldn't you? Yeah.
That's just crazy.
Yeah.
No, so, you're some dude. You write your number on a piece of paper. Say, hey, if you want to call me, call me. If you don't,
yeah,
you don't.
Yeah.
You're almost using, like, in sales, how they use a takeaway approach.
Well, yeah.
Like, hey, you know, this might not be for you. And then all of a sudden the customer wants it, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. So, hey, you gotta use what you got when you got it. You know what I'm saying?
And did you have a full head of hair then?
Well, my sons would say no.
What would you say?
My sons would say there was a comb over for about 15 years. And
is that
you
true?
Know, finally it was.
It
yeah.
Was. Oh, well, it now was you terrible. Can say that. Because yeah, it's like me. I'm fascinated with anybody who has hair.
I know. Actually, both my sons are completely bald. No, they shave out every day. And one of them tried to Rogaine every month for a couple of years.
Right.
And 120 a month. I said, man, you know, how's that working for you?
Yeah, really?
Yeah, geez. So he shaves his head.
But the other son, does he have a full head of hair? If he doesn't shave?
No.
I was going to say, I can't stand those guys. You have a full head of hair, you're shaving your head. I don't have an option. Here's my option, a hat. That's it. Those are our options.
Yeah. That's about mine. I never go out without a hat. So anyway, so we got married, or I proposed to her.
Right.
She
How
said,
did that go down?
Well, we were supposed to ride in the MS 500 or 200 bike ride up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
We had trained all summer riding together, rode all over central New Jersey. I was planning to propose on that bike ride up in New York.
Yeah.
And I had arranged for my son to drive up and bring a ring and all this other nonsense. The school she was working with, she worked for the Department of Corrections, they announced that they were closing. So she was really bummed. And I came down with a flu really bad. So
wait a second. She worked for the Department of Corrections and the furniture place at the same time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it was like a part-time gig.
Yeah. The furniture gig was a part-time gig. The Department of Corrections was her full-time job.
Well, that's what I mean. The furniture thing was a part-time gig.
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct,
back to the bike race.
Correct. So comes Thursday or Friday, we decided the bike ride's off. I'm not physically able. I was still recovering from the flu.
Right.
And she was still pretty bummed. So we got together Saturday. I said, you know what? I've got an IRS problem. I sold a place in California. I've only got 18 months to reinvest. I'm running up against that time. I need to find a place to buy. So we went out house looking.
Okay.
And at one point, one of the realtors said to us, well, what's the relationship between the two of you? And like an idiot, I said, well, I was planning to propose to her today.
Oh, dude.
So,
are you serious?
Yeah, absolutely. I know. Talk about a loser.
Dude.
Man. And so we're at dinner.
What a charmer.
I know, exactly. Well, I got to tell you, this gets worse. It really does. This gets much worse.
Wait, I'm going to lean over and grab a scone.
Oh, that's fine. Airport. So
this
gets much worse because we're at dinner enjoying a glass of wine, and she looks at me and she says, you said something today. That's what she says. She says, you said something today. And I said, well, are you going to marry me or what? And she looked at me and she said, yes.
Gosh. Wow.
Yeah. So I had this, what I thought was an incredibly romantic thing where we were going to do all this bike riding. We were going to get to, you know, in front of all these people. I was going to propose the ring, blah, blah, blah. The whole plan was blown and I didn't have a plan B. So are you going to marry me or what was my plan B?
Ouch.
Yeah.
Thankfully,
well, anyway,
she said yes.
So she says yes, but a couple days later she says, but there is something you need to know. Oh, yeah. Oh,
a couple
yeah.
of days
oh, yeah.
later.
Yeah. And I thought, oh, my God, she's got AIDS or nothing. She said, no, none of that. None of that. None of that. She said, I got to show you something.
Oh, my God.
And she takes me up here to Mill Hill, and she parks in front of literally a dump of trash. It's a big pile of trash. And she says, I own that pile of trash. She said, not only do I own it, I bought it, I own a fee simple deed on it, and I entered an agreement with the city of Trenton that I would rehab it to the historic standards of this neighborhood and live in it for at least in 5 years. Now, do you still want to marry me? And I looked at her and I said, this is an adventure. And I got to tell you, all of Trenton, I did not want to live in Trenton at the time. I was a Lawrence Square guy. I had lived in upper middle class America out in California, sitting up 2,000 feet high looking over a valley.
Right.
And I just was not a Trenton guy. But I loved her and still do, by the way, just for the record. And I said, well, this would be an adventure. So I pulled the boys together. Yeah. And the three of them,
we had
three boys, two of my own and one of hers. And I pulled them together. I said, gentlemen, I said, we have the greatest opportunity in the world.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to give you a chance to work on this house. I'll ask the contractor to hire you for at least one day. Hmm. I said, beyond that, it's up to you. I'm not going to force him, but I will ask him to hire you for one day. The oldest son, Andrew, who was about 15, I guess, said, yeah, Dad, oh, God, I'm in. I want to do this. The second son, Chris, my youngest, said, right, I'm not sure I'm really down for this. And the youngest one said, nah, I'm not interested.
How old was he?
He was probably 11 or 12 okay. at the time. I think there's a difference of about 5 years between all of them.
So all these kids are younger than 16, aren't
they? Like, yeah, Andrew might have been 16, but it was in that, it was 15, 16.
Weren't there any child labor laws you had to worry about?
No.
15 years old?
Who cares?
They're working
papers. Who cares?
Well, the general contractor's going to hire this kid. All right, whatever.
So yeah, exactly. So, well, the police came and arrested me and took me away.
The end.
Andrew ended up working for him all summer. He learned to swing a hammer on a job. I think today he's got some fairly decent carpentry skills as a result of it. But anyway, I sold this project to the boys, and once they were in it, then I'm like, okay, everybody's cool. We're going forward with this. So we ultimately got married. It was a marry my house story.
She was already on board with Trenton. She was like doing this.
She's born and raised in Trenton. This is her home.
I think she did mention
that. Yeah,
on
she's
the show
born and raised
Christina
here.
Interviewed
yeah,
her.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was there for that interview. I was like kind of in and out. But I did hear Deb mention her husband, Mike, and she was saying all these things that were like fascinating about you, and I can't remember one freaking thing right now. And it's making me nuts because I was like, wow, we got to have him on the show. And now I'm sitting here saying, why was I so fascinated with this guy? I can't remember one thing. Did you play the saxophone or something?
Yeah, I do.
You play the sax.
I play sax. I started out in junior high playing alto sax and later oboe. Played oboe. Ooh. I wanted to be a professional musician, as it turns out. Huh. I studied 3 years under the first chair of the San Diego Symphony, the first chair oboist.
Is there a big demand for that?
There's not a lot of oboists in this world, and so I thought that would be a great future.
Sure.
My mother, on the other hand, said when I was a junior or senior in high school, she said, you know, you love engineering and you love music. Consider being an engineer for a vocation and having music as an advocation. You can always play music. But she says for a guy trying to make it in the music world, you want to have a family and all that someday, it's a tough way to make a living. And I listened to her. I ended up going to engineering school and getting a degree in mathematics. Mm-hmm. But I still, even to this day, still play.
Do you have any regrets going down that path?
Maybe once in a great while. I mean, I wish I'd become a more skilled musician over time, but I don't regret. I mean, my family always ate.
No, because the Trenton Philharmonic, we just went to see them on New Year's Eve, and they were amazing.
Absolutely.
And I really love that 6 years ago they started out with like 250 people, and now there was almost 1,000 people there that night.
I know. As you probably noticed, we're the concessionaire for the...
Yeah.
And we've been with them almost since the beginning.
Do they need an oboist?
No, they don't need an oboist. I actually have met the oboist. She's quite a skilled...
Oh, they already have one.
Oh, yeah. They've got a couple of them.
Well, they have a female one.
Yeah. There's an old joke about why are there only two oboists in an orchestra.
Why?
And because nobody could stand three. apologies to my oboe friends.
They're probably telling that joke.
Yeah, I'm sure. Exactly. But we're the concessionaire for the symphony. I mean, and frankly, we don't make a huge amount of money, but we have friends that are part of the symphony. I play in a jazz band with a guy who plays bass with the symphony.
Friends of the band.
We've fallen apart lately because our keyboardist passed away last year.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so he was our glue. He was
You can jam at Candlelight Lounge, man.
And we're actually talking about that. So I still play sax. I don't work at it very hard any longer. You know, there for probably about 10 years, the last 10 years, I really, you know, was working at it every single day. And we made a little bit of money at it, you know. And I don't consider myself a professional musician, but, you know, I've been paid to bang on and squawk on the thing.
So you can, technically, you're a professional musician.
Yeah.
You got paid. Once you trade coins, you're done. You're professional. One of my dreams is to learn how to play the sax. I'm so not musically inclined whatsoever.
Yeah,
but I love the sound of a sax because I feel like it's the closest thing to a human voice.
Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful horn. It is.
Yeah.
It is, absolutely.
And then, weren't you in the military?
No, I was not. My dad was. I'm a military brat. Dad spent 25 years in the Navy.
Navy?
Yeah.
See, that would be one part of the military that my wife, if she was ever going to join the military, she would say, I would always want to join the Navy because of the uniform.
Oh, you like the uniform? Oh, she does. She, like bell bottoms, huh?
There you go. Like anchors away.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, everything's based on whatever Gene Kelly did, she likes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so Mikey, I'm a coffee drinker.
Okay.
Okay. No offense to anybody.
No.
No, whatever.
I love coffee.
I mean, how do you not? I think there's more coffee in my veins than blood. But you're into tea. Like, of all the things you could have went into, how did that even become a thing with you guys?
I have to go back a little bit. Debbie started the business. After she retired from the state of New Jersey, she flunked miserably retirement. She was terrible at it. She lasted about 2 weeks and then needed something to do.
Oh, so this is another Deb joint.
Yeah, this is another okay. Deb joint. Yeah, another marry me, marry my tea house business. There's a theme going on here.
Really? Good.
Yeah, so she started the business 2011, basically. Took some classes and started working in a tea room up in Hopewell, which is long since closed. And I was still gainfully employed. I worked in the chemical industry, selling industrial lubricants. I was a marketing manager for a chemical company. Along about 2012, I got the fateful call from the HR department that said, you won't be here tomorrow. So
like you were laid off.
Yeah.
Which is a nice way of saying you're fired.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And at 62, I was like, okay, what am I going to do now?
Right.
Yeah, I held my head down for about 6 months, started riding bicycles again pretty seriously.
You were down for 6 months? Hit you?
Well, I mean, I came back pretty soon after because I started doing the bicycling and just start doing something.
Yeah, sure.
Ended up riding a couple hundred miles for the battle against hunger, raising a few $1,000s and built my head back up. In the meantime, a friend of mine called and said, hey, Mike, will you consult to us? And I ended up having a consulting gig for almost 5 years. Full-time consulting gig, paying a whole lot more money than I was making as a marketing manager.
Okay.
Having a great time.
Right.
But, you know, with all things, especially when you're in marketing and that's what you're consulting with, your shelf life gets old after a while.
Sure.
I mean, four or five years, my market knowledge was no longer, I wasn't bringing anything to the marketplace that I could add for my client. So about 3 years ago, I decided to spend more time with the tea business as clients were drying up. And I wanted to take it a little bit easier. I wanted to let up on the travel. I had had lots of nights in hotels over my career and decided it was time to slow down a little bit. So crazily, I said, well, let's push this business a little harder. In the meantime, I had taken a number of training classes like Debbie from the Specialty Tea Institute. I've been fascinated with tea as a technical trained guy. Tea is science to me. It's botany, it's biology, it's chemistry.
Oh, and you're into all that
stuff. And I love that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I started looking at tea from health benefits, from understanding how the plant is grown, understanding the chemistry that the tea gives to the cup and how that benefits the body. And I moved my passion over to understanding or trying to understand much better what the benefits of this product was.
Right.
And I happen to love the product. I love tea. I love coffee. In the evening, I love things that have ETOH in their
No idea what you're talking about.
Ethyl alcohol?
Oh, God. Here he goes. Mike, you got to cheer up, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, I knew the real Mike would start pouring out in a minute. Now, being in the tea business, I would think, maybe I'm wrong, I've been wrong before, God knows I'll be wrong again. But here's the thing. So, as much as you know about tea, I would think that you probably get a lot of pushback from potential customers who are just, they're locked into their coffee. I would think that you would have to educate yourself even more so on other drinks like coffee and things like that so that you would know how to combat that conversation with your tea information. Is that true?
Yeah, in part, Frank. I mean, part of it, as a coffee drinker, I'm not necessarily going to convert you to tea. I get that. In my case, and I'll be very personal, I love coffee. When I was a young man, I could drink 10, 12 cups a day. Today, I probably can't drink more than 2 or 3 cups a day. I mean, the body just doesn't want that beverage that often any longer. Where I can drink tea from 10 a.m. until midnight.
So you're drinking a cup right now.
I am drinking a cup
right now. And Podcastia, he's not even like drinking it like out of a styrofoam cup or even a thermos for that matter. He has an actual cup of tea, like a teacup of tea. It's very bizarre with two scones sitting next to it. I got to take a picture of this. It's just very, it's like so you and so not. Is this what you carry around with you?
I do.
I have a thermos type
cup on the floor with me, and frankly it keeps the tea so hot that I can't drink it directly from that thermos, so I'll dump it down in this little cup. And I let it cool a little bit so that I can drink it as we're talking.
Is there caffeine in this tea?
Absolutely.
There is.
Absolutely.
Is that the Sasso Mate?
No, this one's not. This is what's called a Pu'er, which is one of my teas of choice.
Do you make that one specifically?
No, actually we don't. We make some of the teas in our shop. Many of them we buy. Pu'er happens to come from a place in China.
Now, have you been to China?
We've been a couple times. I've been three times. Debbie's been twice.
Really?
Yeah.
And for the tea business?
Twice for the tea business, once upon a time in my marketing role.
Oh, when you were working a job.
Right.
When you switched over to tea, was it like a cold turkey switch or was it like a gradual switch?
Oh, no, it's gradual.
Did you notice any physical reactions?
Well, you know, tea is a lot more common. Even though, you know, the issue of caffeine, there is arguably more caffeine in tea. Some people will say more, some less. You know, it's hard to actually know without a real analysis.
Right.
Tea, unlike coffee, contains a compound called L-theanine. And L-theanine is a buffer. It slows absorption of caffeine into the bloodstream. Mm-hmm. So caffeine goes into your blood and it quickly spikes the adrenaline, and so you get that quick rise.
You get it fast,
you get a kick out of
it. It's
more gradual, and so I find that, you know, as I've gotten older, it's a little more enjoyable. I don't go up and down on those spikes like I used to, and you know, this time of year, a warm beverage is just nice to have in the hand.
How would you answer this? Why is it that coffee in the morning gives me that instant and then at night the same coffee makes me sleepy?
Because you're strange, weird, out there. I don't know if I have an answer to that. I mean, I understand why in the morning it gives you the jolt. Part of it is probably truly psychological. Part of it is because you expect that. You want that. And oftentimes, you know, coffee drinkers are different than tea drinkers.
How so?
And when we drink coffee, at least I tend to gulp it. You know, I'm getting ready to move.
You don't sip your coffee?
I sip it until it cools enough.
And you still drink it?
Oh, absolutely.
You still drink it?
Oh, absolutely. I have a couple cups.
Does Deb know about this?
Oh, yeah. She knows. We have major things in our house, little jokes we play on one another about coffee in the morning. We always drink coffee. But like I said, about two or three cups in, we're done. You know, by 10 o'clock in the morning, the pot's empty. We're done with the coffee.
See, as far as me and Christina are concerned, it's all about the second cup. When we drink coffee in the morning, we drink the first cup, but it's all about the second cup.
Yeah.
That's where we really like, yeah.
Yeah.
It is a drug. I guess it's a drug.
It is a drug.
Right?
And caffeine is probably the most available, unlicensed, unregulated drug in the country.
Now, I have a little bit of a beef here with you. I got a bone to pick with you.
All right, let's do this.
All right, so last week, your wife, the lovely Deb Robb from T-4-all- I don't know. So it's T for all, but there's a hyphen between the T and a hyphen between the 4 and the all, right?
That's correct.
T-4-all.com. She sends me a label for the Sasso Mate, okay? There's a cartoon of me on this label.
Yeah, yeah.
So when she first did the label, I said, Deb, you can't use this label. This label is trash. It's not. It doesn't look good. There's different fonts all over the place. It doesn't look good. Let me just do it. So she's like, fine, no problem. I said, just send me the specs. Send me exactly what you needed to say, all this stuff. She sends me a label over. I change what I need to change. That's it. I change the picture. I change the type at the top, whatever. And it says on the label to serve in water at 250 degrees. This is what it says in the label. And when I first saw that, I'm like, oh, wow, that's way above boiling. Oh, yeah, whatever. It wasn't even really a thought. It was like a passing kind of whatever. A day later, I get this phone call from you kind of like berating me as if I had anything to do with this label. Has no idea that it was all Deb's fault. So I called Debbie back, and I said, what is he talking about? And she said, well, you know, it would be really nice if you could make it 205 degrees instead of 250 degrees, and blah, blah. And she's being really nice. And I hear Mike in the background screaming, hey, is he into humanity or science? And I'm like, what is he shouting? What is he yelling about? What were you even saying?
I accused you of being a humanities major because anybody
you know who you're talking
yeah,
to?
Yeah, anybody who had studied any science at all would know you'd have to be crazy to call for 250 degree water.
Well, that being said, that's fine. But here's the thing: you would ask me, how would you know if something's 250 degrees? How would you know if the water is 250? I'm like, I don't know. I guess I would boil it first, and then I would leave it in for a couple more minutes, and then probably it's 250. I don't know. Why are you asking? Well, because it shouldn't be 250. It should be 205. I'm like, dude, first of all, I think you need some of that non-caffeine tea, number one. Take a breath and relax. And if you had any idea of my educational background, as far as me studying anything, that was not happening. Number two, check with your wife, all right? Check your facts before you start challenging me. How dare you? So I just left it on there. I'm like, oh, they know better than I do, of course. And I get started. You're like reaming me over the phone.
You know, as you deserved it. You know, that's okay.
How did I deserve it? I didn't write that. What do you have to say for yourself now? Nothing.
Mea culpa. Mea culpa.
Yeah, mea culpa. That's right. With you're lashing yourself on the back.
Yeah, exactly.
With a homemade whip.
Exactly.
So where do you guys see T4All going? What's the big picture for T4All?
Yeah, we've grown to a point now where we're looking how best to expand. We do a lot of pop-up markets, and frankly, the best way to expand is on other people's back. You don't make money on your own back.
Right.
You know, you might make a living, but to make real money and to grow a business. So we're looking
you'll make a living, but not a life.
Exactly. Right. So we're looking to get young people or people that are part-time or something that want to take tea to, say, a market and sell it. Mm-hmm. We have capacity to produce fairly large quantities and keep refrigerated large quantities of tea. I'm talking mainly about iced tea. The iced tea, for us, is our big money maker.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Iced tea?
Iced tea. In the U.S., iced tea accounts for about 70% or more of all the tea that's consumed. Worldwide, wow. That's not true. But here in the U.S., we've all been raised on iced tea. You know, many of us on sweet tea.
Right.
Iced tea is big in the summer and in the warmer months. Highly profitable. So we're looking for folks that are willing to take the product out to market, develop a relationship with the market, and sell the tea to pop-up markets and that type of thing. And we see that as a way to expand significantly over the next several years. And to help young people and people that are, you know, need to supplement their income with additional revenue stream and learn some fun things in the process.
About tea.
Yeah, absolutely.
How would you say you guys differ from like the big boys, like Lipton and things like that?
Lipton, which is owned by Unilever, is one of the largest corporations in the world. We're a specialty tea company, and that means that we're buying a very select portion of the tea plant. A company like Lipton, and I'm not picking on them, just as an example, they're a very classy company for what they do. They work in the, I tend to call, the commodity tea market.
Okay.
They're probably the largest buyer of teas worldwide. They buy teas from companies and countries all over the world that you wouldn't even know were in the tea business. Kenya and Argentina and Brazil.
Oh,
these are not countries that are known for tea production, mm-hmm. but they're probably the largest in the world, supplying those kinds of teas to Lipton. And Lipton will deliver the same flavor profile anywhere in the world, whether you're in China or you're in India or you're here in the States or in Mexico, you will drink that cup of tea and say, that's Lipton. I know that
they've
flavor.
They've mastered that order. Like
they've got quality control down absolutely cold. We deal with agricultural commodities.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with single sources. We're dealing with very small farms. We're dealing with the vicissitudes of weather and climate and the environment that the tea was grown in that week, that month, that year.
Okay.
And so we revel in the variation. There's a Japanese concept called wabu-sabi, seeing the perfect in imperfection. We're in the wabu-sabi business.
Wabu-sabi.
Okay. So we're in the business of bringing what Mother Nature gave.
Yeah.
And we deliver that to you
okay.
as purely as we can. We're not blending lots of teas like Lipton from all over the world to get one flavor note. We're trying to get as many flavor notes as we can that right. the tea will deliver.
All right, well, I have a little true or false question here for you.
Okay.
I got six true or false questions.
Okay,
for you.
All right.
See how you do.
All right, let's see.
Right. Number one. Oh, music, please. Thank you. Number one. Tea is the most frequently consumed drink in the world right after water.
That is correct. True.
Okay, hang on. Let's see. Let's see how you do. You're going to go with true on that. Wow. You're right.
Now, that's not true in the U.S. It's not even probably
the
in the top 20. Worldwide is true.
Yeah. Yes. Because tea drinks have developed in all parts of the world independently, their drink as a source of refreshment, social drink, or part of a traditional medicine.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Not bad. Number two. You got five more to go. There is only one green tea. True or false?
Oh, absolutely false.
That's false. Oh, you're right. What do you have to say about that? Why do you say false?
I can probably rattle off 20 different green teas that we have in our product portfolio. Yeah. And this probably doesn't even touch the surface. China produces a wide number of green teas, things like Dragon Well, which is well known to some of the better, people that are into tea. But you would find Taiwan producing green tea. You'll find the Darjeeling area of India producing green tea. On and on and on. Well, and technically, all tea meaning Camellia sinensis.
Well, here we go.
We need to draw a little distinction, Frankie.
Sorry.
Even for humanity guys like you.
Yeah, right.
Tea, in a technical sense, comes from the Camellia sinensis plant. For instance, I have hibiscus, or I have rose hips, or I have something else. That's technically from a from a scientific sense, it's not a tea. It's a tisson. Or herbal. So I don't want to confuse the audience when I talk
too
about
late.
Tea. I know. Yeah. I know. If I got you confused, I've got them confused. But, Camellia sinensis, all tea, Camellia sinensis, whether it's green, oolong, black, dark, yellow, or any other variant, comes from the same plant. Okay. Camellia sinensis.
Interesting. Well, it is false, that statement. There are many kinds of green tea differing in the plant variety, region, picking and processing methods, I'm sure, and the way you brew it.
Correct.
Right? And I guess the same applies to other kinds of tea as well. Right? Okay, so moving on to number three, antioxidants are a powerful heal-all. Antioxidants are a powerful heal-all.
I'm going to say false to that. Antioxidants are incredibly important to us, both as living organisms, whether it's a plant or we humans. Antioxidants alone don't necessarily overcome all the diseases we get, but they certainly help in a great deal.
Right.
So they're incredibly important, cancer prevention or protection or lung diseases or anything else are inhibited by antioxidants.
Okay.
Are they a cure-all? No.
Okay, so you're going with antioxidants are a powerful heal-all. You're saying that that's false. That's your final answer?
Yes.
Oh, there you go. You were right. All right, very, very good. Number four out of six. There is only one quality grade of every tea.
Oh, my God.
One quality grade of every tea.
Oh, my God, no. Absolutely false.
Oh, you very good. Having been picked, all teas are sorted by different quality grades, starting from big pieces of leaves to crumble and dust. Quality tea is made of big pieces. Cheap bag tea and industrial concentrate is made of crumble and dust.
Correct.
Wow. Look at you. You really know your tea. Who knew that you would know this much about tea?
Yeah.
All right, number five. It doesn't matter whether tea is brewed of quality leaves or mixed of concentrate. Does it matter or not?
Well, it matters a lot to the palate. But let's define what quality is. What you believe is quality is not necessarily what I do. So what's important is what your taste likes. As a customer, I care about what you like to drink, not what I like to sell, because I'm only going to sell something if it's something that you're willing to buy. So if you like that tea from a concentrate, by God, drink it. But in terms of quality, flavor profile, and really something that I stand proud for.
That's what we're talking about. Don't worry about the customer right now. I'm testing your knowledge.
Okay. Then absolutely. Then the quality matters. The quality leaf matters.
Right. So your answer would be false, that it doesn't matter.
That's correct.
And the answer is, yes, it is correct. Dude, I gotta say, you have a 90% here. You have one more question to go. Because teas and tea recipes have gone through centuries of development and clinical studies. I think it's the belief is that only sticking to traditional recipes and brewing procedures can guarantee the same tea content. I think that's been proven. It's worth it, like, in centuries, right? It's not necessarily to optimize or industrialize the nature.
You know, if we talk about the medicinal values of teas,
right,
then we need to get into concentrations of things that we don't consume generally. And I'm not a doctor, so I don't make a recommendation to you about a tea,
right,
but a doctor might say, you know, I want you to have so many milligrams of tea concentrate a day for a health benefit.
Okay.
You're not going to get that from a cup of tea.
Gotcha.
You need much more than a cup is going to deliver.
Gotcha. Okay. Last question. This is it. This will really determine if you are a true tea master.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah. I wish I were a tea master. I should be so lucky.
Well, as far as Trenton Waves goes,
okay.
You're way more advanced than really anybody of any one of us or anybody that's ever been on this show, I think. Number six, and final question. True tea will make politicians talk and they will start to be honest. True or false?
I don't think there's anything in this world that can make a politician be honest.
Well, let's see.
The only thing that makes a politician honest is money or their lack thereof. I wish tea could help.
Are you going to go with false?
I'm going to go with false.
And the answer is... he is absolutely right. Unfortunately, false, but it will give them energy and will to work, which is good or not. I don't know. But politics, you know, it comes from the word poly, meaning many, ticks, meaning bloodsuckers. That's why we really don't talk about politics on this show. But that was pretty amazing there, dude. You actually impressed me.
There you go. How about
very,
that?
Very nice.
And I know how difficult that is, Frank.
So. It is a little difficult. I'm not just going to, like, be impressed by any Tom, Dick, or Harry.
Oh, yeah.
Or Mike coming in here and spouting out their beliefs and their facts or factoids, if you will.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. So what kind of tea is that you're drinking?
This is a pu'er.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned
it comes from Yunnan province in China.
Okay.
It can only be called a pu'er if it comes from that area.
Oh, so it's like champagne.
It is like champagne, very much like champagne.
Okay.
And a matter of fact, now this particular one isn't particularly expensive, but we have pu'ers in our inventory that are more expensive than any champagne I've ever consumed.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
My wife and I were in London once. This was actually right after 9/11. Mm-hmm. And we were in London for Christmas. Beautiful. And we're sitting in Brown's Tea Shop. You ever heard of Brown's?
I've heard of it, yeah. I've never been there.
We're in there for high tea.
Okay.
Which is a very, you know, Christina loves that kind of stuff. You know, mm-hmm. The teas with the finger sandwiches and all that stuff. All right. We each have our own teapot with a little tea cozy on top of it. And it was wonderful. So I order my tea. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I want to see if you can guess what I had. We're sitting there and we're drinking tea. My wife starts going, and she starts smelling like something burning. And she thought it was the Christmas tree because we were sitting in front of the fire. And she thought the Christmas tree got into the fire. And she's like, what is that? It smells like a campfire or something. Mm-hmm. What the heck is that? Mm-hmm. And then she leans forward and she smells my cup and she goes, oh, it's your tea. What tea did I order?
Almost certainly you had Lapsang Soochong.
That's exactly right.
Lapsang Soochong is a very smoky tea from Fujian province in China. It is processed in part by putting the tea into a wok or something like it to finish the process he did to dry it and stop so-called stop the green. And they use pine needles and pine to fire the wok.
Oh,
and tea is a very sensitive to smell aromas in the air. So it collects those and it traps those aromas in the tea.
She's going to love hearing this because I'm such a teaophyte. It's not even funny. Because as I'm talking, as I'm explaining the whole thing about like the smokiness and like the campfire, Mike's making this face like, yeah, I know what it is. You undoubtedly had Lapsang Soochong. But I am. I'm a teophyte. And for all you teophytes out there, I think that's the name of this episode. The teophyte.
Teophyte. I like it.
Somebody has no idea about tea and they want to learn something.
Yeah.
Mike, would you like to hang around for something we call plugs?
Sure. Let's plug something.
Tracking Waves Plugs.
Hey, Podcastia. Let's see what this guest has to plug.
Where can people find you? Where can people see you? Where can people hear you? Where can they go online to experience all things Tea for All?
Online, we're at www.tea-for-all.com or on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
The one on the social media. On the social media. T for all.
Okay. Right. We are physically located at 960 Spruce Street at the Trenton Farmers Market. We're down at the end near the Watch Doctor and the Savory Leaf. On the north quarter.
That used to be. That used to be a cheese shop.
There was a cheese shop. Yeah. Olson's Cheese was down there for a number of years.
Yeah,
and then we're in the room that was Franca's Bakery. And when they retired and closed, we took over that space. You can reach us at 609-577-8038. Or you can email Deborah.tforall. That's all one word, no hyphens. Deborah.teaforall. At gmail.com. Either the telephone number or the email will get directly to Deborah, or she'll forward it to me if she feels I'm worthy to delegate to, and we can communicate. So we would absolutely love to hear from you.
That's cool. And by the way, I wanted to mention this, and this isn't happening until I think this spring. T4 also has a booth at the Mill Hill Park Market, or the Capital City Market.
It's a Capital City Market.
Yeah, so
it's Thursdays.
City Market.
I believe it starts in early May,
if I recall,
and it runs through the end of October every Thursday, starting, I believe we open at 11 and close at 2 on most days.
I love that, because it's right up the block from New Pod City, where we record Trenton Waves and Stay
Absolutely.
Woke and Street Startups and the New Warehouse Podcast. All your favorite podcasts get recorded here. If you want to find out more information about Trenton Waves, you can go to TrentonWaves.com. All of our social media accounts are right there at the bottom of the footage. Just click on it. It takes you right there.
Frank, I really appreciate you having us here. We'd love to have you and your audience come out for a cup of tea. Mention New Pod City, and we'll give you a discount to anyone that comes in and said they heard me on the road.
You get a discount when you mention New Pod City. I like that. The first I'm hearing about this. I just might have
been. Hey, I just made that up on the spy.
Wow. That's what's so cool about being a business owner.
That's right.
You don't have to check with anybody. Well, you kind of can check with Deb. But
yeah.
You know,
she'll just yell at me. It's all right.
You know, when Mike and I are, like, not on the air like this, when we're in, like, public, for some reason, we don't have conversations. We just scream at each other simultaneously.
It's true.
It's totally true. That's what I think I like about it so much. I like yelling. I don't know. Maybe it's an Italian-New York thing. But then again, you're not Italian or from New York.
Pretty much as much German as you can get.
Oh, good stuff. Well, until next week, podcastia, this has been another episode of Trenton Waves.
Sasso out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at TrentonWaves.com.